The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Coming up, with no warning, Chet McDaniel was born with no arms and shortened legs.
It was a shock. It was a shock to his doctor. It was a shock to Judy and me.
Despite the challenges, his parents decided to raise him as they would any other child.
Life is from God. And we've got to respect that. We've got to honor that. And we got to love it.
His secret to enjoying life to its fullest, next.
For joining us on Life Today. I'm Betty, and this is James.
And I'm smiling because I'm looking at the title of Chet's book, I'm Not Broken. You don't need arms to be happy. Chet's not real tall. And he came out here, his legs are about as big as my wrist and my hand. And he's just a remarkable person. He's really a miracle. And he came out here and just got up in this chair a while ago, and I thought, now, I figured somebody would have to help him. Nope, not a bit. And he's just a miracle. And his dad, Jim, is here, Chet McDaniel, and Jim McDaniel. And I am so thrilled to have both of you here, Jim
We're
and Chet.
To
welcome to Life Today. It's a joy.
Yeah.
And you really are happy.
Absolutely.
I mean, and it exudes from you, and it's the joy of the Lord, and you obviously have so much purpose in life, and I understand you actually have businesses. Am I right about that?
Absolutely. I go around the country speaking in different places, and then also run a Disney specialist travel agency called Off to Neverland Travel.
Isn't that amazing? Yeah. Now, when did you come up with that idea yourself?
Actually, we heard a young child. My wife and I were on a plane, and the plane's wheels left the ground, and it was headed to Orlando. And about four rows behind us, a young child yelled, "Off to Neverland!" and my wife looked in, and we looked at each other and said, "That's the name of the company. We got to call it that." So
it had to be supernatural. I'm not broken. You don't have to be arms to be happy, and you are happy, Jim. Was this a shock when
had
a baby
shock.
That didn't have arms and was obviously challenged?
1979, you didn't do sonograms unless there was some reason, something to be suspicious of. We didn't know until we were in the delivery room that he had any abnormalities. And it was a shock. It was a shock to his doctor. It was a shock to Judy and me. And I still remember some of the bad scenes there, as the doctor took him over, laid him in a little container that's for newborns, a little crib, and then went back to take care of Judy. And he was the OB. I mean, she was his patient. He told me later that he had done the minimum of suctioning life support for a newborn on Chet because he felt like if Chet could pull through, might have a viable life. And if he didn't, he'd be better off dead. That was quite a shock to even hear that. I don't think it hit me as much then as it did later on because we liked the doctor and he was good to us. I think it was particularly a shock to Chet when he heard about it. But that wasn't as bad as another doctor who a day later told me, now, if you were in the state of California, you'd have 3 days to decide whether this child lives or dies. And James, what he was implying was that he would take care of that life. He would kill him if I just ask. That was the view of life, the value that they placed on life.
And I don't think it's gotten better.
I'm afraid
it hasn't. I think it has diminished until someone that has challenges like you have, Chet, would be seen as perhaps having little value, little potential, and would not see you as one to be protected. And if you were observed in the womb in this challenged condition, very likely you would have been aborted in the womb. Would you agree that seems to be the trend in the thinking in America today on the part of many, many people?
Absolutely. When my wife and I are pregnant with first child, there's another one on the way now, by the way. When we were pregnant with our first child, our doctor asked to have a level 2 sonogram to make sure the baby was forming properly. And of course, me being who I am and the views that I have, immediately said, well, why would you want to do that? And she said, now slow down. Because you got to realize that if something is wrong, we're going to want specialists in the room. We're going to want every piece of knowledge of information that we can have in order that this child have the best chance at life. And then she stopped and said, and some parents, if they see an imperfect image on a screen at this point, would choose to terminate. And there was this awkward silence in the room. And then a smile escaped her lips as she said, I'm guessing you're not one of those people.
We want to present a story of his success. And yet I want to say very clearly, it was difficult. There was a major blow to our thinking, to who we were, what we would do. You would appreciate this, Betty, as a mother. We used to stand over his crib at night and cry. And then we finally decided that wasn't doing him any good, wasn't doing us any good. And we would rear him then just like we were trying to rear the other two, to have a full, rich life. And if you could hear some of the stories of his life, you know that nothing was held back. He was full steam all the way.
Well, I think he tells some of the stories here. And by the way, here's an address. There's a website where you can go and you can find out how to get this book, but also how you could get Chet to come and communicate. And Jim is quite the communicator himself, a pastor and a wonderful father. Chet's wife is out here, and they've got a baby coming very, very soon. And Jim's wife there, Judy, is there, Chet's mother. And you're just a beautiful, beautiful people. I want to ask you this, Chet. When did life become challenging to you?
You know, early on, other kids saw me just maybe as different, but not anything to have any concern about. It wasn't an issue in conversation and playing together. But in junior high, I became the target of bullies. I became the one that was ridiculed. And I remember times where the bullying was so bad, not necessarily physical. In fact, the physical was easy to take because I would challenge the bullies right back. So if you're going to throw a punch at me, I'm going to hit you with my 400-pound wheelchair. We'll see how that works. It was the verbal abuse that hurt. It was the kid that was barely bigger than I was and what his tongue could do. I remember times in junior high that not only did I not want to go to school the next day, I can remember times that I did not want to wake up. It was that bad. The discourse in our nation right now, you hear adults say, I don't understand how kids are killing themselves over being bullied. And I like to stand up and say, I can. I understand what that's like. I understand those thoughts. Had it not been for a very supportive family, a deepening faith at that point with God, because who else do you turn to? I don't know if I'd be in front of you. I don't know if I'd be alive. But it was that point where I decided either this becomes my faith and I serve him, or I'm out. I don't need to be here. Because obviously, people are going to do this. Either they don't know, they haven't been taught, but they're going to do this.
Somebody fell in love with you when you were going through some of that.
She did. She did. Joni and I met in junior high, in church together, and we dated for about 9 months. The breakup was so bad that we did not speak to each other for 3 or 4 years afterwards. You know how silly kids can be. We've often talked, neither one of us even remember what the breakup was about. Then we went to different colleges and came home and became best friends. Wanted to be around each other all the time. Spent about a year just being best friends and having fun. And then one day, I remember pulling over and turning to her before she got out to go home. And we were in my van, and I said, look, I've never been good at this whole dating thing, so I love you and I want to get married. And I think she grinned and said, finally. She says that she had been thinking that for a long time and was waiting for me to tell her how I felt. when it really cemented for me that I had found the one was, I think, on our first or second official date. I remember sitting on the couch with her, and I turned to her and said, "Now, look, I don't have any interest if this is short term. Make any difference to me. I want this to be for the rest of my life. And if you do too, there's got to be some things that you understand that you're going to have to help with that most wives are not ever going to have to help with." And I started down that list, and she stopped me and said, "Do you think that if I had a problem with anything you're about to say, I would have said yes to dating you?" I said, "No." She goes, "We're done talking about it." And I never asked again.
She's a special girl.
James, she has, in that other book there, the one that I wrote, she has a letter in there that I had to twist her arm to get permission to print, put in the book, that she wrote to her family saying, "Okay, before you meet my fiancé, he looks different physically, but I want you to know that he is as deeply spiritual as anyone I've ever met and will make a great head of house for my household, his household."
Tell me, as parents, and you see your son and his family, how do you look on this? I mean, what a beautiful thing God has done.
What a beautiful thing God has done. You are so right to say it that way. We swell with pride. I get to go with him. Sometimes we speak together, and sometimes I'm just in the back selling the books. And I tell you, I come away inspired every time. I look at that horrible beginning and how rocked we were. And then I see he's running two businesses, has a beautiful family, drives about all over the place with his van that's handicapped equipped for him to be able to drive. And that bright, happy spirit, he's been a worship leader in a church, a worship pastor, just everything exceeding abundantly above all we could ask or think, Ephesians 3:20. I see it in him, and I give God all the credit.
You know, your story, Chet, is in this DVD that Governor Huckabee and the Citizens United organization did, and your testimony is just really inspiring in the special documentary. My story is there. If you don't know, I'm the product of a forced sexual relationship on a 40-year-old practical nurse, and she conceived, and a doctor refused to abort me, and I was allowed to be born. My story is here. I really wish you'd get the DVD.
It's powerful.
And I wish you would play it in your whole church. Mm-hmm. It's of the quality. It's like Governor Huckabee said, there were four presidential candidates sitting in front of it the first time it was premiered. And there wasn't a dry eye in the house. There were standing room only. It overflowed the huge auditorium they were in. And Governor Huckabee said it was awe-inspiring, but had a transforming effect. And we will send it to you. Play it in your Bible study group. All we ask you to do is help us help others. What do you want, Jim and Chet? What do you want people to hear today when we're facing rampant abortions as though it's just birth control, and even having arguments about being sure that even some church groups must be sure you provide it, including abortion? And then the tax funding, and now all the concerns where Planned Parenthood has become the major abortion clinics in many instances when they're supposed to be there to help care for women and to look after them and benefit them, and yet they're taking innocent life. What do you want America to hear and consider?
First, I have to confess that I have to fight anger. Can you imagine this life not being here? So I have a tendency to get angry, and then I have to pull back within my Christian perspective and say, I want to help those people see that God is great and that He can take a physical body that's not right and give that person a life that's perhaps more abundant than mine. So why would you think of aborting? And even if the life is troubled, if it isn't as full and rich and happy as Chet's, it's still a life. We don't have the right to say this one should live and this one shouldn't. That's God's choice. And we don't have any business trying to get into His realm with that decision.
I think that's the key, is that we're trying to play God. ultimately. It's that humanistic desire to be more than we are in the wrong way. And so we've got a culture that says, not only is it okay to abort, but let's take it even further and say we're being humane. If it's not just a decision, we're being more humane or merciful to abort a baby who doesn't have arms or might have Down syndrome or any other thing that we can see on a sonogram screen. But the point is, it's not more merciful to take away life in any situation, no matter what. There is no case that you can make to say you're doing something good by taking away life. Life is from God. And we've got to respect that. We've got to honor that. And we've got to love it.
And you know, when you start with an understanding of that love process, when you love life and you treasure it and you value it and you see it as the precious gift of a great and loving God, and you treasure it, everything in life is enhanced immediately and blessed. We are so often blessed by circumstances that seem extreme, that people who have dealt with indescribable challenges. The Bible is filled with story after story of what would have been hopeless without God. And it became inspiration to all of us. We really do have some serious issues we're facing in America. I don't know if there's any one any more serious than this one. This is a year to choose leaders. Is there anything more important to consider than the value of life and protecting it? And is there any life more helpless, more innocent, more vulnerable than life in the womb? Father, heal our land. Thank you for the incredible testimony of this family and of Chet and his wife, mom and dad. Thank you for your grace and your love. Heal our land in Jesus' name. Listen to me. This is a year for every person who understands the value of life, who understands the importance of faith, of family, and of freedom, to register to vote, to prayerfully consider who you support, and even more important than the election is to set the course for a new direction. It's why Jay Richards and I joined together as a leading respected Catholic and a very visible Protestant, and joined together on the issues that concern us to find the common ground to address our very legitimate common concerns. This is the time for the light that's been hidden to suddenly become the shining city on a hill that cannot and will not be hidden. Would you say thanks to Chet and to Jim? And thanks be to God for your witness and your testimony, both of you, and your family. How we love you and thank God for you.
Thank you.
I want to show you something that your first inclination will be to just look away from. Please don't. I'm asking you, and I believe you're going to find it very easy to do. I'm asking you to ask God to let you see as He sees. And then ask Him to show you how you could respond the way Jesus would. Because we are together His body. Watch closely. What's happening in your heart, honey, when you watch that?
You know, as I'm looking at that, I think children are supposed to outlive their parents. That's the way God created us to be, and to each generation to bring hope and youth and to bring encouragement and love, pass it on. And these children, they're dying before their parents. These mothers are watching their babies just die in their arms, and it's a simple solution. They need food.
I just look at them and I just see precious, precious, precious little lives. I won't ever get used to looking at them, and I won't ever look away because I see them as such a treasure. I look at a little boy with his face pressed up, obviously, I guess, against his mother. And I thought he was so pretty. I saw three children standing. The taller child had on kind of a nice little African dress. And I saw them hungry, and I thought, I wonder who would feed those three. I see families that are hungry and the parents are so concerned about the children, and I'm saying, I know that mother's hurting, and I know that in Sudan, which is where those pictures were taken, where they're being persecuted terribly as the southern half has broken away from the very abusive northern part of radical Islamic extremism. And these people pray. And I know because our mission team asked them, do you pray? Yes. Do you know Jesus? Yes. And they're praying for their children. And you're the answer. You here in the United States and Canada and Australia and all over the world, you're the answer to their prayers. But you say, okay, how do I do it, okay? The mission workers are there. We're feeding hundreds of thousands of children. You've seen some of them. They represent the thousands. They're each one that precious to God and to their family. I'm asking you to dial that number right now and take your bank card and use it the best way you'll ever use it in your life, and that's to give life. And I'm asking you if you can give $1,000 and help us feed 100 children for the next month, or give 100 and help us feed 10, or 50 and help us feed 5, or the 3 I referenced, give 30. Whatever you can do, I'm asking you to do it right now. Father, I pray every person watching would simply get up, go to the phone, get their bank card, and say, you know what? I am going to be an answer to that mother's prayer and those missionaries' prayer. I'm going to express your heart, God, and extend your hands, God. I'm going to save lives today, and I'm going to rejoice in it. God, help them to do it. In Jesus' name, now do what God tells you to do. You want to go online, lifetoday.org, make the gift there, or you can write a check. Make it to Life. That's what you're giving, Life. But call the number and tell us you're mailing it, and then mail it. And thank you, because I know you will. I feel like you will, because I feel you've identified with God's heart, and you're going to express His heart by extending hands of love. That's what I believe you're doing. And I want to thank you for it, because life is precious. And we can save those lives. This is not an incurable disease. We got the answer in our hand. Would you release it? Thank you for doing it.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's mission feeding teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than 2 decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation, and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our new International Version and New King James Side-by-Side Bible with a two-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
And I want to mention, if you do want the gift of life that we talked about today, and it'll bless you, and you'll want to show it to your congregation, your Bible study groups, or civic clubs, we are sending the children's Jesus storybook from the Bible. Wow. And then the side-by-side Bible, the New International Version, New King James Version. And if you want the book Indivisible, it's in the bookstores. We have really addressed the issue of right to life, preciousness of life, and every major issue of concern to pray about. If you'd like to have it, we'll gladly send it to you. Just help us care for these children. Join Betty and me again in saying just an incredible thanks to this incredible young man and his family. Chet McDonald, would you say thanks to Jim and Chet?
Love you.
There's the website again if you want Chet to come and communicate in your church, share his story. You invite him. You want to get the book, they're available. Thank you so much. Thank all of you for being with us. Thanks for sharing life.
Later, something pops out of our mouths that we think, why did I say that? Why did I say that?
Beth Moore, tomorrow. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.